Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on when there's no doctors right after this. If you're earning $50,000 a year, and if you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create and produce. The government gets the other 60%. That's $20,000 for you, $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you think your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard next year and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year, and you're going to net 25%, and the government gets 75%, which means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you'll get $4,000 more. That's 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year. You produce 100% more, you get 8% of it. Sounds fair to me, doesn't it, to you? Now, that's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only get 25% of it. And that's what we teach in our tax and status school, which is now on compact disc for adult home study. Why don't you call today and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. This may not be for you, but if it is, let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information. It answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is we pay so much and receive so little in return. Let me show you how to do just that in our tax and status school, which is now available on compact disc for adult home school. To order that free general law CD package, just call and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Go to the archives page and download it. Hey, what do you do when there's no doctor? The other day, I was in the hospital ER, and you know, when you're sitting in the ER, you got nothing to do but count holes in the ceiling tiles. And so while I was sitting there waiting, counting the ceiling tiles and all, I took a look at the number of chairs that were in the waiting room there, and there's 84 chairs. Now, on the weekends, that is Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, those 3 nights, that place is jam-packed. On the regular nights of the week, like Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, it isn't jam-packed. And I got to musing about that. I thought, well, why is it that this thing isn't full on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but it's jam-packed on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? So 84 chairs in there, and this is big business. I mean, these guys are raking in a lot of money here. This is a big institution. In this hospital, 7-8 stories tall. I don't know how many rooms are in there, but it's several hundred. And they got this emergency room, 84 chairs in the waiting room, and it's about... On the weekends, I've never seen standing room only, but I have observed that about two-thirds of it's full all the time. And then on the regular nights of the week, it's only about one-third full. So I do a big business on the weekends. And I looked around at the people in there, and some of these people are suffering, and some of these people are in agony. And, you know, and of course, if they bring them in an ambulance, they got a different entry for that. But here's the moral to the story. What would happen if that ER wasn't available? What would all of those people do? What do you do when there is no doctor? Now, as an illustration, when you don't have a job, you go down and sign up for unemployment insurance. When there's no money, you go down and you draw on your savings account or your 401k. And when you don't have a car, you ride your bike. If there's no electricity, you get out your Coleman lantern. If there's no water, you go to your cistern or you buy water at the local grocery store. I mean, you know, all of these things are things that happen from time to time. When the power goes off and there's no water, you know, well, then you've got bottled water there in the pantry, don't you? We always have a backup to take care of these contingencies. But what do you do when there's no doctor? See, most people don't know what to do for an appendicitis. You don't know what to do when you've got gout or scurvy. Whenever you've got a medical problem, you go to the ER. You go to your doctor. You call your pediatrician. Your kid's got a fever, so you call the pediatrician. He always makes an appointment for you, doesn't he? I mean, no pediatrician, no doctor has ever said to you, sorry, we're booked up. You can't come in. They will always make room for you. Somewhere in the system, somewhere along the line, there's room for you. Well, there's room until there's no doctor available, and that's coming, so get ready for it. And the day is coming when you will not be able to get a doctor. Isn't that amazing? I know you've never seen that in your lifetime, and you may not. You know, if you get to be old like me, you, You may not see that day arrive, but there's a day coming. So I thought, all right, there's a solution to this problem. And I already implement the solution. I don't go to hospitals. I just haul other people in there. Every once in a while, somebody gets sick or something happens, and they say, hey, take me to the hospital. And so I load them up and haul them off to the hospital. And, of course, I'm sitting there in the waiting room waiting for this. I'm waiting for these doctors and waiting for these people to finish their process and their procedures. And I'm not complaining. I'm not here to tell you not to go to the ER any more than I tell you, you know, not to sign up for your unemployment insurance. I'm just pointing out that, you know, there could come a time when your unemployment insurance runs out. Then what are you going to do? And then, you know, millions of people are facing that prospect right now. You need to have a plan to handle contingencies. Normally, you know, most of us do that. That's why we belong to the welfare state, and we have social security numbers and unemployment insurance and workman's compensation, 401k plan, and we go to the job every day and we work and do our thing, and then we hope that the system works and doesn't break down. But every once in a while, something goes haywire and the system breaks down. So let's take a look at a couple here. What do you do when you got scurvy or gout? Scurvy and gout. Well, scurvy is a disease called a deficiency disease. And you and I have never seen a case of scurvy because we here in the Western world, you know, we have plenty of vitamin C. It's a deficiency disease of vitamin C. And in the olden days when sailors were, you know, out on the high seas, they didn't have enough vitamin C, they get scurvy. And it'll kill you. It's painful. But it's simple to cure. And when the doctor says, oh my God, this guy's got scurvy, they give you vitamin C and cures it right away. Same thing is true with gout. Gout is not a deficiency disease, it's a toxic disease. And when you get gout, it's too much protein. So if you want to test these, you know, just don't eat any vitamin C for a while, and pretty soon you'll get scurvy. When you get scurvy, you go to the doctor, he'll say, my God, you've got scurvy, you're not getting enough vitamin C. And then he'll prescribe drugs and medicines and one thing and another, and then when he tells you that you've got scurvy, now you know the answer to the riddle. You go down to the supermarket and you buy a bunch of oranges and limes and lemons, and you take those home. That's why they call the English sailors limeys, because they started stocking their ships with limes. And in the process, they found that they could eliminate the scurvy in the crew. And so we do the same thing today. It's no big mystery. Now, gout, that's an odd one. Gout, that's a toxic condition. So here on the farm, we get this once in a while. Here, see, we'll kill a cow. And then you got all these steaks. See, this cow's got 24 steaks running down her back. And so we cut out all the T-bone steaks and rib steaks and one thing or another. We fry them up and we're eating steak. Well, after a while, you know, you get so much protein in your system, it builds up in your joints. And it causes god-awful pain in your joints, especially in your ankles and in your feet. And you can't walk, and it hurts like hell. So there's a simple solution. You fast for about a week. You just quit eating protein. I mean, you don't have to quit eating and drinking. I mean, you just stop eating meat for a week, and it'll go away. So this tells us a couple of things about sickness and disease. When you get sickness or disease, what you're suffering from here, it's very simple. It's either, one, you've got a toxic condition, you're being poisoned, or you've got a nutritional deficiency and you're starving to death. It's just as simple. There's no big mystery about it. Now, the doctors know that. See, the doctors know that, and it's a trade secret, and they guard that with their lives. Just like any business that has a trade secret, like Coca-Cola. You see, the formula for Coca-Cola or the formula for Kentucky Fried Chicken, the spices and herbs, that's like the keys to the kingdom. Nobody's ever going to put that out in print anywhere. Because if they did, then you could make your own Kentucky Fried Chicken at home. They're not going to let you do that. So the next time you're in a KFC store, tell them, hey, give me the recipe for your Kentucky Fried Chicken. See what they tell you. Write a letter to Coca-Cola and tell them, hey, give me the formula for your Coca-Cola Classic here so I can make my own at home. That'll be a cold day in hell. All right, well, Chevrolet does that, and Ford, and all of the manufacturers, when they make something, they patent it. And they do that so that they've got the exclusive rights to it, so that you can't go out and copy what they've done. It's a trade secret. That's how simple that is. Well, medicine isn't any different. Medicine is big business. In fact, it's the biggest business in the world, medicine. Now, the doctor doesn't necessarily promote illness and sickness. He's not out here telling you don't eat vitamin C so that you'll get scurvy, so that you'll have to come to me to get some vitamin C. Now, they would like to do that, and they're in the process of doing that. For instance, here in the United States, about every I wouldn't say every session of Congress, but you know, every two or three sessions at least, somebody comes in and they present a bill to Congress and they say, we want to outlaw vitamins and minerals over the counter, and we want to make those by prescription only. In fact, this last trip into the hospital here, the guy that was in there, they asked him, are you on any drugs? And he said, no. And they said, well, do you take any vitamins or minerals? And the guy said, well, yeah, I take vitamins and minerals. Well, we classify those as drugs. So you see, the medical doctors have already classified vitamins and minerals as drugs in anticipation of the day when their lobby will get passed through the Congress a prohibition against selling these drugs across the counter. You know, you're going to have a prescription to get vitamin C here one of these days, at least here in the United States. So now that being the case, see, the doctors, they know that, vitamins and minerals cure disease. They know, for instance, that vitamin C cures scurvy. And they want to take that away from you. See, because there's a lot of other people out there that know that. And so the reason that I brought the series of programs to your attention is to clue you in to how this process works. Now, if you knew this trade secret, that doesn't mean that you wouldn't go to the ER or that you wouldn't go to the doctor. It just means that you wouldn't be dependent upon. You know, if push ever came to shove and you got scurvy, and if you could recognize scurvy and the symptoms for scurvy, you'd say, well, hell, I can take care of this myself. I can just go down to the supermarket and buy some lemons. Or, you know, I go to the health food store, just buy some vitamin C. Now, we have vitamin C here in our cabinets. You know, we have all these vitamins and minerals. We have all those in pill form. They're sitting right there on the shelf. So that if I needed vitamin A or vitamin B or, you know, whatever, I just go pop a couple of those pills. Now, the doctors, they're not dumb. See, they're sitting there saying, well, we want to take over. That's a pretty good lucrative business. We want to take it over. So we're going to infiltrate it. We're going to go into the Congress, and we're going to get the legislation passed, and we're just going to take it over. It's what we call a hostile takeover in business. You know, we on Wall Street, you know, we see a business that's pretty good. So we go in there and we buy up some of the stock. And then we take over that company. You know, it's done all the time. It's called hostile takeovers. So the medical profession is in the process of a hostile takeover of the vitamin and mineral business. And when that happens, then you and I, you know, Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, we're going to have a hard time getting these vitamins and minerals. So you have to go to the doctor in order to get the vitamins and minerals so that you can treat yourself with these herbal remedies. Now, you can grow these herbs here in your garden. There's about 100 of them. In fact, there's more. I was in a health food store the other day, and I was taking a look at all of the herbs that they've got, and I counted 144 jars. They got them in a big rack over here. So I counted 144. That doesn't mean that that's all that there is, but that means that there's at least that many. At least that health food store recognizes those. Now, some of these herbs are things like garlic or cloves. Now, garlic is a very important herb, and here's one of the neat things about these herbs and herbal remedies. They not only cure the disease, but they don't have any side effects. So when God designed this process over here, he gave you a remedy for all of these diseases. So there's 450 diseases. You might want to write some of this down. Get your pen and paper out here, and I'll clue you in here. And the doctors, they've got them all patented, copyrighted. So you take the name scurvy over here. They've got that scurvy. They own that. Just like Coca-Cola owns that name, Coca-Cola, Coke. Okay, well, the American Medical Association, they own scurvy, muscular dystrophy, cancer. And they go in and they copyright and they patent these names over here. This is what makes it illegal for me to treat cancer. So if you walked into my office and you said, hey, I've got cancer, what do you think I should do for that, Mr. Gordon? And I say, okay, well, here's what I would do for your cancer. I'm practicing medicine now without a license. If I said drink water, that'd be, you know, it would be diagnosing and then prescribing. I would be prescribing water and diagnosing cancer. And you can't do that. And the reason you can't is because the American Medical Association owns that patent. See how simple that is? No big mystery. They're not dumb. They're out here marketing cancer. They sell cancer. Cancer is their bread and butter. It's the way the oncologist there makes his living. So he owns that trademark. It's like Coca-Cola. You know, they own that trademark. So I can't go out. I can sell Gordon Cola, but I can't sell Coca-Cola or Pepsi Cola or Shasta Cola. Say, Cola, I can sell, but I can't sell Shasta Pepsi or Coca. See, they own those. Well, the American Medical Association, they're very, very astute business people, and they recognize that when people have pain, they will pay a lot of money to alleviate the pain. That's why they want morphine, but they don't want you to have it. Now, morphine out on the street is called heroin. In the hospital, they call it morphine. Out on the street, they call it heroin. And if you're looking for Coke, you know, this is, they call this cocoa leaves, you know, they get down South America, they call it coke out on the street. Well, they've got trade names for that, like Ritalin, and marijuana. See, marijuana, they got a trade name for that. I forgot the name of it. Oh, what's a Marinol? Marinol, that's the trade name for marijuana. And they own that. And so it makes the pharmaceutical industry really uptight when they catch some guy out on the street selling marijuana. Because, see, they sell Marinol. And they're licensed, bonded, and insured. And when they see somebody going out here on the street selling marijuana, it infringes upon their patents. And that's why the government is so uptight and so nasty, you know, with you drug people out there. See, if you want marijuana, you go down to the Rexall store and you buy it, and it's called Marinol. But to get that, you got to go to your doctor. And your doctor, you see, is the official government drug pusher. He sells drugs. He's the drug kingpin, and he issues these prescriptions. So you walk in, you say, I ain't feeling too good, and I think I need Marinol. And he says, okay, I'll write you up a prescription for Marinol. Now, one of my students who happens to be a druggist, we were chit-chatting the other day, and he said, now, when you come into the pharmacy to buy marijuana, it'll cost you $500 for a month's supply. When you go down to Joe on the street corner and buy marijuana, It only costs you about $100 for a month's supply. So the entrepreneurs out on the street, you know, the ones that are selling heroin, marijuana, and cocaine. Okay, now those guys are infringing upon the medical establishment. And they're practicing medicine without a license. They're distributing drugs, you know, and they're not licensed, bonded, and insured, and like Merck and Pfizer and so on. So now, if you were wondering why, that's the reason. It's big business. In fact, it's a $1 trillion a year business. Trillion. In fact, they tell us that it's going to be a $2 trillion. It's 1.8 right now. 1.8 trillion. Or put another way, it's $1,800 billion a year is what we Americans spend on medicine, doctors and pharmaceuticals and hospitals and all of that. So it's a bunch of money. And one of these days, the thing's going to collapse. And when it collapses, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, when the economy collapses, we get chaos. And then you're going to have a hard time holding a job. You won't have any money with which to buy this. And you'll be looking for generics. You know, you'll be looking for generic morphine. That's called heroin out on the street. And there's no shortage of that stuff. From what I understand, the people tell me that there's plenty of it available. Now, that being the case then, what about herbs? Well, they're going to take your herbs away from you too. Yeah, they want to take your herbs. They want to take your garlic away from you and your cloves. And the reason for that is very simple, because these herbs cure disease. In fact, they do it better than the drugs. It isn't that drugs don't work. I'm not bitching about drugs. If you're a druggie and you want drugs, that's good. But what happens when you can't get your drugs? You know, you might be sitting here someday in a position where you can't get your morphine, marijuana, cocaine. You know, maybe you can't get your antidepressants drugs, you know. And or Boniva or something like that. See, there's a woman on TV and she's selling Boniva, you know, for osteoporosis. Well, did you know that there are natural herbs and vitamins and foods that you could eat that would do the same thing? Yeah, you know, you could get it. Now, the reason that you've got osteoporosis is because the food that you're eating out of the grocery store is deficient in vitamins and minerals. And so osteoporosis, then, is a deficiency disease, whereas gout is a toxicity disease. So you can ingest poisons. This is what makes this thing so simple. When you get sick and you have pains and you're sniffing and you got the flu or you're coughing and you feel bad, etc., one of two things has happened. Either one, you're starving, that is, you don't have enough vitamins and minerals, you're missing one. Or you've been poisoned, you've got a toxic condition, just one or the other. That's how simple that is. Every time that you get sick and feel bad, you're either being poisoned or starved. And sometimes it's a combination of the two. You're being poisoned and starved, both at the same time. So when you've got hay fever, okay, well now you've got a toxic condition. If you've got general rundown feeling and you're tired and you don't feel good, I was talking to my broker the other day. He's an old man now. He's 87, and he and his wife, you know, they're just old, you know, just suffering from old age. And he was chit-chatting a little bit, and he said, you know, I don't have the energy that I used to have, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And I said, yep, I've noticed the same thing. And he said, but I'm taking flaxseed oil now, and I've gotten most of my energy back. He said, I can walk now 2 or 3 miles a day. And my wife can do the laundry and do her work. And, you know, here are these people, 87 years old, and they're having a problem with their energy level. Well, your energy comes from vitamins and minerals and calories and things like that, you know. And if you want to test this, very simple, just fast for 3 days. Don't eat or drink anything for 72 hours. And I'll guarantee you, at the end of 72 hours, you will be so weak that you'll have a hard time just walking to the top of the stairs. Just walking upstairs to the bedroom. Now, let's cure your tired feeling. Now, go down and start eating again. You know, after you fast for a couple, 3 days, you go down, you start eating, and you get calories and vitamins and minerals back into your system, and your strength will come back. Your strength will return again. Now, those are just kind of simple experiments that you can test right there in your own home. But you've probably already done it. You know, you probably already know that. I'm not telling you something new. All right, now what we want to do, though, is learn how to extrapolate this into, well, how do we cure appendicitis? If you had an appendicitis, what would you do for that? What would happen, you know, if you had a gallbladder attack or you had kidney stones? Or better yet, let's try this one. Instead of treating your kidney stones when the pain is so excruciating that you have to go to the ER, what if we knew what caused kidney stones? And then what if we made a dietary change and just eliminated kidney stones altogether so that we don't have them, no kidney stones? What if instead of curing cancer, we just avoided getting cancer altogether? I had cancer a couple years ago. It was a big, nasty sore on my jaw. And if I had that experience to go through again, if I could avoid that, I would. But, you know, some of us, from time to time, you know, you're going to come down with cancer. And when you get that cancer, now, if I'd have gone to the doctor, they'd want to cut my jaw off. They'd want to cut my esophagus out. That, you know, it gets to be pretty damn drastic. And I really didn't want to give up my jaw. I didn't want to give up my esophagus and so on. So I treated it naturally with vitamins and minerals and Indian black salve and so on. There's 14 cures to cancer. So I thought I'd bring that to your attention, too. Now, we're constantly looking for a cure to cancer. You're never going to find one. See, the medical profession learned that with polio. They went out and found a cure to polio. Oh, my God, it shut off the money tree. Everybody quit giving to the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. And so they learned that what we want to do is we want to look for a cure to disease, but we don't ever want to find it. And every once in a while, some guy comes along and he finds a new cure to cancer, and so they lock him up in prison. Yeah, that's what happened to Bruce Halstead. You know, he was a cancer researcher. And he was taking government money and doing his thing and going to work every day. And one day he came up with a cure to cancer. And he said, here's the cure to cancer. And so they said, oh, my God, we can't have people like you running around in civil society. So they prosecuted him. Now, this guy was a medical doctor, so they couldn't prosecute him for practicing medicine without a license. So they got him for unauthorized medical procedures and locked him up in prison for that. So if any of you guys out there that are in the cancer field, you know, and you get a bee up your butt and you say that you want to find a cure to cancer, rethink that one. Rethink it, because you're going to go to prison if you do. I just thought I'd throw that one out there for your consideration. Now, for those of us that live on the fringes of society anyway, when we get cancer, then we go down to Joe at the corner, we get some Indian black salve, and we come back and treat it ourselves. And I've got a very good track record with cancer. I had it once and cured it once. My wife had cancer, and she's had it for about 30 years now. She's got a chronic cancer condition. She'll die with it. And we hope she doesn't die from it, but when she dies, she can have it. And she has to treat it every day. She has to go through her therapy. It's either that or die, you know, so you got a choice to make here. But, you know, but when she went to the medical doctors 30 years ago, they said, okay, well, there's nothing we can do. You're dead meat here. But we can treat this, and we could keep you alive for about 18 months. And so she said, well, what's that going to cost? And said, $100,000. This is 1978, $100,000. And she said, is that going to cure me? No, it's going to prolong your life for 18 months. And so she said, well, if I take my $100,000 and I spend it on the doctors, I'm going to die anyway, and then my family's going to have to bury me, and that's another 10 grand. So it's going to cost $110,000. $100,000 for the treatment to keep me alive for 18 months. And then during this 18 months, is it going to feel good? No, you're going to be sick and hair's going to fall out and you're going to be in bad condition. And so she said, hell, I'll just go ahead and do nothing and die. And then my family will have the $100,000. They can take 10 of it and bury me and have $90,000 to spend. And she thought, my family having $90,000 to spend after they bury me properly would be better than giving it to the medical profession. So that's what she did. And guess what happened? She didn't die. Yeah, didn't I? And we find that that's pretty common. In fact, if you go to the doctor and go through cut, burn, and poison, you'll die in about 18 months on average for $100,000. But if you do absolutely nothing, you'll die, but it'll take 6 years. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, if you do absolutely nothing, don't do the cut, burn, and poison trip, on average, you'll live for 6 years. Now, these guys tell you that if you live for 5 years with the cut, burn, and poison, we call that a cure. So what do you call it when you do absolutely nothing and live for six? Well, they don't call that a cure because when you die, you're going to die from cancer. But if you die in 6 years after you've been through cut, burn, and poison, they say, well, we cured you. And then it came back, and then you died. Isn't that special? Just thought I'd let you know how that game is played. All right, we're at the halfway point here, so I've got to give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click on to the archives page and you can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we're citing here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, some of them are hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. I might make mention here, oftentimes I get letters and they say, well, what radio stations are you on? And the answer is, we don't know. We put this out on the internet in two different formats, and radio stations all over the world download and play our program. So if you're listening on the radio someplace, you know, in Costa Rica or Brazil or someplace, you know, this oftentimes happens, then that's a benefit to you. And we don't pay for that radio time, and so I don't have any idea who is playing the broadcast. But if you want to listen to us on a regular basis, we're on the internet 24/7 in 123 countries worldwide. So you just go to georgegordon.org. We have an archives page, and you go to the archives, and you can download these programs. They're free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything. And a lot of times people say, I'm learning so much by going to this website and getting this information. And we cover a number of different topics and subjects over here. And we actually cover things like education. This one here happens to be health. We're going to talk about health this week. We talk about business and politics, education, religion, health, history, economics, news, current events, and law, science, and things like that. And doesn't cost you anything, and so there you are. All right, we're talking about health, and we're talking about what do you do when there's no doctor available? And the answer is you can solve all 450 of your health problems. So there's a thing here called the physician's desk reference. Physician's desk reference. It's a book that sits on the doctor's desk, and it lists all 450 diseases. 450. There could be 500, but they got 450 in their book. And they'll have scurvy in there and gout. So, you know, you're looking for scurvy and gout, and then you look for the symptoms, and then the doctor asks you these questions. And the reason he's asking you these questions, he's looking for symptoms that he can look up in the physician's desk reference so that he can say, oh, here's what's wrong with you. And then you just go over here to the right-hand column that says, well, here's the pill that you take for that. So simple, isn't it? So if you've got scurvy, the doctor is never going to tell you, go eat an orange. He is going to prescribe a medicine for you that costs, you know, $5 a pill, and you'll need a 30-day supply, and you'll need to take two after every meal. So that's six a day. That's 180 pills at $5 a pill. What do you need? What you need is vitamin C. You could go to a health food store and buy a month's supply of vitamin C for $17.95. But this doctor is going to sell these to you for $5 a pill. What's he selling to you? That's a trade secret. God, he's never going to tell you what's in those pills. It's vitamin C. It's what's in the pills. But it'll have some name on there. You know, like terramycin or oramycin or dehydrostreptomycin or something. They'll have some big labeled word on there that you don't know what the hell that is. And then you take it into the druggist, and he takes it. It's code. It's written in code. And he looks at that code, smiles at you, and says, I have your prescription right away, sir. He goes back. He makes up the prescription. He comes back. He gives it to you. And he tells you, now, be careful with these, and don't take more than two after every meal, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know. And so you do that, and you're happy. It cures your scurvy, and you're happy as a clam at high tide. And you really didn't care if it cost you $180, $5 a pill for 180 pills. How much would that be? Six a day, 180. 180 times $5 a pill would be $900. You know, if you had scurvy and you were hurting real bad, and you could cure that for $900 in 30 days, you'd do it in a heartbeat. You could do the same thing for $17.95 by buying a package of vitamin C at the health food store, or you could just go down to the grocery store and buy a bag of oranges and come home and start eating oranges. That's what they used to do with the British sailors. They give each sailor one lime per day. So if they had 30 guys on the ship, you know, and they're on a 30-day voyage, they'd have 900 limes, didn't they, to get from this side of the ocean to the other side. They had to load up 900 limes in there to keep these people from getting scurvy. That's how simple that is. And I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor and not to get a $900 prescription to cure your scurvy. I mean, hell, if that's what turns you on, get after it. And when you're hurting and you're in pain, you got gout, you know, and you got your joints are all tied up, you know, the doctor will give you something which will dissolve that protein buildup. Actually, it's some kind of an acid that's building up there in your joints. I forgot the name of it now, but it's no big mystery. It's just a biological function of eating too much meat, too much protein. I got that gout one time, and God, that hurt. I mean, it really hurts. It's painful. And if the doctor would have said, here, you know, I got a prescription, cures that gout, and it cost me $900, I'd have paid it in a heartbeat. Never better than I will. But when I came home, my wife said, you know, if you just quit eating meat for about a week, which I did, I just ate vegetables and fruits and stuff, and no more protein. and it just went away. And that's how simple this is. Now, there's ways that you can expedite this process. Expedite it. Now, I'm gonna take up a series of articles here that come from the International Forecaster. So get this down, because every week there's an article or there's a story in the International Forecaster about health. And then evidently, Wendy Wilson is going to cover all 450 diseases in the physician's desk reference, because for the last two or three years, I noticed that every week they've got the health page here, and they're telling you, this one is how to cure appendicitis. I'm going to tell you how to cure this appendicitis right now. I'm going to get this down. It's called the International Forecaster, and the guy that puts it out is Bob Chapman, and it's a financial newsletter is what it is. Financial newsletter. And I recommend it to all my students, every single one of them. Everyone comes in here, I tell them, hey, do you get this? And they all tell me no. I tell them, well, you need to get it. Cost you about $150 or $60 a year, something like that. Comes out twice a week. You get 104 issues. So you're going to get 100 issues for $160. $160 divided by the 100. It's $1.60 per issue. Comes out twice a week. Divided by about 30 pages per issue, and it costs you about a nickel a page. And here on page 20, health, how to cure appendicitis. Now, for a nickel, how to cure appendicitis, I think it's well worth it. For a nickel. And here on the law hour, I'm going to tell you how to do it for a charge. Isn't that special? Now, this makes all the doctors just mad as hell. And why is that? Well, because when you have an appendicitis, the doctor says, well, we got to cut your appendix out. Got to cut your appendix out. You got a gallbladder attack, cut your gallbladder out. You got a tonsillitis, or cut your tonsils out. These guys, they did cut it out. And it works. I mean, if you've got an appendicitis and we cut your appendix off, cut it out, well, you're not going to have any more appendicitis. Now, you might have some other side effect that comes from that, which we're going to see right here. How to cure an appendicitis. You don't want to get appendicitis. The main symptoms of appendicitis are abdominal pain, tenderness, and fever. Modern medicine doesn't always diagnose appendicitis accurately. Statistics show that abdominal pain will occur with many other conditions, and only about 5% of the abdominal cases will turn out to be an actual appendicitis. So you got to watch out for this. See, you can have gas. I mean, what you need is a big, healthy fart. But you can't pass gas, and so you've got this abdominal pain. You go to the doctor, he says, oh, my God, you've got appendicitis. He checks you into the hospital and cut out your appendix. By now, your gas attack has passed, and you're happy as a clam, and you'll live without an appendix. You know, my grandmother had her appendix cut out at age 67, and she lived another 21 years, without an appendix. Can you believe that? And then she seemed to function pretty well. But that doesn't mean that you don't need your appendix. But I just wanted to point out that just because the doctor says you're having an appendicitis attack and that you need to cut your appendix out, before you sign the consent form, maybe you should get a second opinion or take some Beno or something and see if it doesn't alleviate it. If it doesn't alleviate it in a day or two, well, then maybe you do have an appendicitis. And then you can decide, well, do I want to cut it out or do I want to treat it holistically with herbs? You know, just it's a choice that you have to make in life. And I would imagine that an appendicitis operation probably costs you somewhere around $5,000-$10,000. Now, if you could treat that, you know, with some herbs from the health food store, and maybe it costs you $25, you know, you could measure $25 against $10,000, you know, and decide for yourself. Anyway, what is an appendicitis anyway? Well, in a nutshell, it's constipation. Isn't that special? Okay. Now, if you want to know how common constipation is here in America, everybody in America has constipation from time to time. I mean, there's a couple of guys like Doc Schultz, you know, and a couple others over here that don't. But, you know, for practical purposes, we all get constipation. And this constipation over here translates into appendicitis. Right. Now, if it's misdiagnosed, it is quite a serious problem. There are about 1 in 5 cases of appendicitis that are misdiagnosed and is therefore the third leading cause of malpractice lawsuits. 20% of the time, when your doctor says, hey, you're having an appendicitis, all right, 1 time out of 5, 20% of the time he's wrong. Which is, you know, probably up there where you might want to get a second opinion. Now, here's your problem. You're in the doctor's office. You're having excruciating pain. I mean, this is just killing you. And then the doc says, hey, I think you're having an appendicitis. And you're sitting there saying, oh, my God, I heard Gordon say 20% of the time they're wrong. Are you going to say, well, excuse me, doc, let me go down the street and get a second opinion? See, they just about got you, don't they? They got you in the ER, and they say, well, you're having an appendicitis. Do you say, well, I'm going to leave the ER and I'm going to go down to the Cox Health Center and have them do the same thing and find out second opinion? I just want to point out to you that in all of these diagnostic procedures, the doctors are wrong a percentage of the time. Sometimes half the time they get the diagnosis wrong. That's 50%. Hell, you could do as well flipping a coin. Now, appendicitis is a little better than that. It's only 20%. You know, it's about like throwing dice and trying to hit a 6 or an 8. Now, doctors are quick to remove the appendix because they think it's a useless blob of tissue bringing off are hanging off the intestine. That what function does the appendix serve, and how can we avoid a reverse appendicitis if we get it? Well, let's find out. Now, I've still got my appendix, and I'm going to die with mine. I just made up my mind that I was going to die with it. The statistics for appendicitis change frequently. The Roth Rock study done in 2000 found that 8.6% of males and 6.7% of females have a lifetime risk of acute appendicitis. Also, over 8% of the general public will be affected by appendicitis at some point in their lives. Getting treatment for appendicitis early is critical in order to avoid perforation or rupture of the appendix and the risk of peritonitis, that's infection of the abdominal cavity. All right, so, you know, about a little over 5% of the people in the country have a predilection towards appendicitis. And nearly 10% of the people in the country, 1 out of 10, is going to have an appendicitis attack at some point in his life. Well, you know, this has been going on for thousands of years, so a question arises, well, how did the old-timers take care of appendicitis? You know what I mean? What did they do to cure it? So let's take a look at the function of your appendix. Your appendix is a collection of lymph tissue, and it's designed to excrete immune system fluids into your bowel. Therefore, your appendix is a part of your immune system. So what does the appendix do with the immunity fluids? Well, when your appendix detects bacteria, parasites, fungus, or foreign bodies in your bowel, it will release its fluid made of white blood cells and immune system cells to attack that infection. Now, there were studies done at the UCLA Medical School which reported that if the appendix is removed, it has a negative impact on your overall immune system. They also documented that the spleen will not work as well after your appendix is removed. So my old granny had a spleen that didn't work as well after she had her appendix taken out, and then her immune system did not work as well. Well, there are 17 parts to your immune system, so if you take 1/17 of it out, it makes sense that probably your immune system will only work at about 1/17 less than it did before. You know, 16/17 is better than nothing, but, you know, 17/17 would be a little better yet. Now, if you have appendicitis, the pain usually starts in the area of your belly button, and it gradually moves down to the lower right side of your abdomen. You definitely know that you have appendicitis if the area is hot to the touch, and you gain relief when you flex up your right knee. If pain persists for more than 4 hours and a fever develops, you should seek treatment. You already know what modern medicine will do if they suspect appendicitis, and that's surgery. So when you go to the ER, they're not going to recommend herbs and vitamins. They're going to take you in, cut it out. See how that goes? Now, here's another little thing for you to keep in mind. When you go into the ER, you have given your power of attorney to the hospital. So if, while you're in there, they decide that we're going to cut your appendix out, then that's what they're going to do. You've already given them permission when you walked in the door. So you can forget about a second opinion. It ain't going to happen. All right. Now, here's how it all happens. When you have appendicitis, you have a piece of fecal matter blocking the opening of your appendix, and your appendix cannot secrete the immune fluids. That's why constipation is the cause of appendicitis. So simple this is? All right. So if you could avoid constipation, you can avoid appendicitis. The appendix begins to swell, and it becomes inflamed. Now, if the blockage isn't removed, the appendix becomes infected, and it begins to leak pus. So how did that happen? Well, appendicitis occurs usually after a person has had a bout of constipation, or it can be caused by overeating. So common sense says to remove the blockage. Don't remove the appendix. However, I heard of a lady one time, and her mother died from breast cancer. And so her breasts are perfectly healthy, but since her mother died from breast cancer, the medico said, well, her chances of getting breast cancer were greatly increased. Therefore, she decided to have both breasts removed. And it works every time. So for all of you women out there, and if you've ever considered the possibility of getting breast cancer, if you have your breasts removed, you will never get breast cancer. Isn't that special? So if you thought you might get right leg cancer, have your right leg amputated early on, you know, at age 5 or 6, and you can live the rest of your life without ever getting right leg cancer. Now, I would like to live to be 79 years old with my right leg. And then, you know, if you ladies would like to live to be 79 years old with both breasts, don't have them cut off just yet. I think we can probably avoid breast cancer if we put our minds to it. We can avoid appendicitis. Now, the first thing to do is to stop eating when you have an appendicitis. This will take the pressure off of your digestive system. This is called fasting. You start with a fast. So if there is fever, you keep it wet with lots of fluids, water, or juices. And you want to drink a gallon of juices, apple or prune juice. You're constipated. We got to get the SH out of your colon. Next, you're going to do an herbal high enema to dislodge the blockage and to clean out the colon and the large intestine. You do not want to do colonics, which are about 20 high enemas done within an hour and reaches the small intestine. This would be too much pressure. If there's a lot of pain, you can start with a rectal enema to move some of the material down and out and then move on to do the high enema. So you stop putting food in and you get what's in there out. And then if you suspect an infection, a fever is a good sign that you have infection. You should use garlic. 6 cloves of garlic a day will cure the infection. It's a natural antibiotic is what it is. And echinacea root, 70 drops of echinacea tincture every hour and for several days after you've recovered, and then take these herbs by mouth. What I like to do when dealing with appendicitis is to make some herb tea and then put that in the enema. If you don't have herb tea, you can use some herbal tinctures in water. I like to use lobelia to avoid spasms of the colon. And you can also take some by mouth to relax while taking your enema. I also use marshmallow root to soothe the lining of the intestines. And if you have some golden seal root and can put that into the enema, cut down on infections. And you can use the tea full strength, but let it cool before using it in the enema. If you don't want to wait for the herb tea to cool, dilute it with a little cold water. I recommend using an enema bucket as opposed to a bag so that you can continue to fill the large intestine with fluid without having to stop and remove the enema. And you can obtain an enema bucket from your hospital supply service. See how simple this is? Hey, this medicine thing over here, you know, when you stop and think about it for a minute, isn't nearly as complicated or complex as allopathic medicine would have you believe. Now, you can cure your appendicitis, but better yet, you can prevent it. Prevent constipation, and then you can prevent appendicitis, because that's what causes appendicitis. It's constipation. Isn't that special? I'm about out of time, so I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.